This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
The young quarterback waits for the snap, when suddenly it all starts to make sense. He's got all kinds of time. He's got all kinds of time.
You're listening to KPFT, Houston 90.1 FM.
Orders began with a routine police raid on a homosexual bar, the Stonewall, on Christopher Street, in the heart of the West Village.
Supervisor Harvey Milk. have been shot and killed. Toto? I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
We must continue to speak out, and most importantly, every gay person must come out.
Harvey, do you have a few words for KBFA?
Come on out. Join us.
Family, you must tell your relatives, you must tell your friends if indeed they are your friends, you must tell your neighbors, you must tell the people you work with, you must tell the people in the stores you shop in. To do one thing. Come out! Come out, America! Come out!
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Happy Pride Week, Month,
Day.
Hell, let's just take over the year. Let's really, you know, let's piss off the Republicans. Let's make it a year. We'll start now and go to next year. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
And we are back, fortunately, you know, after the one-year hiatus of not having the post-parade show.
Yes.
And damn it all, they got the parade done on time.
Yeah,
it was done
early.
11:30.
And so, you know, and then we're not until 1 instead of midnight, so... Wow.
We'll have to wait till the bars kick people out at 2.
That must be it. I'm expecting Jack Falinski. I talked with him earlier this afternoon. He said he'd stop by. I always like to talk with Jack because, I mean, he's the executive director of the Pride Committee. So he's just frazzled on Pride Day.
Oh, yeah.
But each year, it seems to get bigger and better.
Yeah, it was, and yeah, I would, once again, you know, the crowd seemed to be younger.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed a lot more women out there.
Mm-hmm.
In previous years. The one thing is, people are just so damn aggressive for those bees.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, there were so many people there that just, you know, were diving and grabbing for them, and it's like, hey, there's a person next to you that has none. I guess I hang out at Pacifica too often.
Mm-hmm.
The person next to you has no beads, and you've got, you know, enough beads going around your neck. You look like a centerfold from National Geographic, where they've got all the wires under the neck. And, you know, they're still being aggressive. That short little Mexican boy there, he jumped a good jump.
Ooh.
Imagine how he jumped if we'd gotten goosed. But I was just
careful.
I was just too far away.
Careful.
Hey, he was drinking a beer, so he was old enough.
Did you get to go to the Pride Festival?
I did a walkthrough of it there once I found it. It was interesting seeing the different, you know, some of the different parts there. I got down to the KPFT booth there. I had to go down and find it. Introduce them so they knew who I was.
Yeah,
I
know.
It was a board member.
Yeah. Well,
but you know, it was, I don't know, the setup just, it was different from last year, and it just didn't have that flow that last year's had. That that when I was through there, I went in about 5:30.
Oh goodness!
I figured when I got out to here, I live out in Willowbrook, so I wasn't able to jump and hide somewhere around here. So I came out late, did the festival, saw some friends, and got over into position for the parade.
Well, I got there about 2:30. It opened at 2. I got there about 2:30, and by 4:30, the heat had gotten to me, and so figured I wanted to do the parade, and I've got a radio show. I better go home and rest up.
And you don't have a pool to dive into anymore.
No, not anymore. No, I know.
I remember that part.
Yes, that was always fun.
Yeah, after Jimmy removed the batteries from his ensemble.
Hey. Yeah. Well, yes, I was wearing battery-powered lights under my clothing.
Yes, I mean, not to say that's what he needs to be used to charge him out around.
Well, yes, yes.
It does take some batteries, but, you know.
But that was the parade. That wasn't the festival.
Yeah.
You know,
when I got in there, it was just, I guess I got a time there was kind of a transition.
Mm-hmm.
That there wasn't a lot of people in there, so it was still easy.
Oh, my God, it was packed.
Oh, when I got there, yeah, it was, I guess, with the extra heat, and people started to back off, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was enough that, you know, the one person was going around on a Segway, followed by a person on a scooter.
Oh.
They were able to navigate fairly clearly.
Oh, my. What about the entertainment? Did you see any of that?
I didn't really stick around. The heat was just getting a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I looked at the weather stuff before I left, and it's like, you know, the ozone levels were high.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the pollen levels were high, basically.
Yeah,
you know, unless you have a suit from NASA, they said don't step outside.
Did you get to go into the history tent that was air-conditioned?
Yeah, I went into that.
Well, in the back, it was air-conditioned.
Well, you got to go to the back. The good stuff's always in the back room.
Yeah, always. They had an incredible display of papers and photographs and magazines and bar rags and...
Yeah, and, I mean, there was one table in the center that was, you know...
Books.
Modern stuff. You know, I'd have to say the modern stuff.
More
you know,
modern.
Lawrence v. Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, a collection of, you know, simply the gay yellow pages.
Mm-hmm.
That you have there.
Yes.
And, I mean, going through some of the pictures and seeing, you know, a little bit further back. I mean, there was an old date book back in the time when you only got your male nudity from physique magazines.
That's right. That's right.
That, I mean, these were...
I remember those days.
The part there. But, I mean, I for some reason, I missed the porn collection that was in the corner.
Oh, my. I don't. It had the caution tape around it.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying there, if you hang around Pride events and all this stuff, you always see that hate-free zone tape that the PFLAG people put out.
And so you thought that was
it? I thought that was it, and I didn't observe closely.
Oh, you know. Okay.
I mean...
But it was a tremendous collection, a lot of things that GCAM doesn't have. This came from RMCC, Resurrection...
Metropolitan Community Church.
Yeah. And specifically the Charles Botts collection that's handled by a guy named Larry. And Larry and I had a nice chat about it. There are things there that GCAM, too old for actually GCAM to have.
Yeah.
'Cause Charles collected probably from the 50s, late 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and I believe he died in the early 90s.
You sound like you're doing commercials for one of the CC stations.
Oh, sorry.
Something from the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Yeah, I see. Ooh. No, and the RMCC is keeping the collection.
Curator of
it. Yes, and curator. And I don't know, there may be, in the future, there may be a joint effort between...
Well, they had a...
The Botts collection and GCAM.
They had a survey and was... asking one of the things, you know, do you think Houston needs a museum?
Mm-hmm.
Was part of it. After I teased them that the numbering was goofed up.
Oh. Oh.
I go, I see you're a Microsoft Word user.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, then it was a very versatile survey because after you finished it, you put it at the bottom of the pile. So it went from the top to the bottom. And yes, I did tell him that it was a versatile survey.
I see.
I think people realize, I steal this line from a friend of mine. I said, you know, I do see the line.
Mm-hmm.
I just choose to ignore it.
I see. Yes.
So, you know, I'll tap dance around that.
Okay.
Please do.
No, but I also want to give props to Bunnies on the Bayou. Because all of the community organizations in mm-hmm. that long tent,
the one
that was on Lovett Street.
Yeah, it was on Lovett. Had
yes.
fans.
Yes.
Had fans circulating some air.
All of those booths were paid for by Bunnies on the Bayou.
Uh-huh.
And the small community organizations that really couldn't afford to pay for that got to be in there. So that, I thought that was really, really cool of Bunnies on the Bayou. And this is the second year they've done that. I didn't realize they did it last year.
No. I knew they had somebody who had paid. No, it wasn't last year.
No, they told me it was... It's their second year that they've done this.
Okay. Well, I knew they had one like that last year, but I thought it was the Kellett Foundation.
Oh, I don't know.
That paid for, that was sponsor of the community tent.
Perhaps the Kellett and Bunnies did it together. The Kellett Foundation paid for the air-conditioned tent for the history.
Now I'm thinking I'm wrong. I don't know.
Okay.
Kellett or Watkins? Ah, who cares? It was last year.
I don't know.
It was last year. That's history. Who cares about history?
But there's a lot of great entertainment of openly gay folks from wherever. One kind of closeted guy and a straight diva. But I guess you got to have the divas in there to bring the crowds in.
Yeah.
So people were probably waiting for Taylor Dayne.
Yeah, I think that was after I was there. I'd have to look at the pictures and see if I recognized who was on stage at the time. Because when I walked by, there was a guy with up at a keyboard performing.
Oh.
And it's like,
I don't know.
But like I said, you know, it's nice to see that we're doing more than just walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more to it. You know, it's, and then a lot of the vendors that were outside it as well. I didn't even get up to Westheimer before I started getting people asking me if I wanted to buy Pride paraphernalia.
Oh, my.
Walking by Walgreens, there was someone out there.
Mm-hmm.
Need water? Do you need it? There was one vendor out there. I can't believe the police officers were letting him do it.
What was he doing?
A snow cone machine.
Yeah.
No parents around. It was some 11 or 12-year-old boy.
Are you kidding me?
To put the ice into the snow cone machine, he had to climb on a stool.
Oh my God.
And dump out of a bag. And it's like, I'm trying to help him. He goes, I'm okay. It's like, I don't want you to fall off this thing.
Oh my God.
And
No, I missed that entirely.
Yeah, I'll say this, though. Of everything I saw out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, his $2 snow cone was probably the best value.
I didn't eat any of the food there. I was too hot, actually.
Yeah.
To eat hot food.
I got a little bit of a tummy ache just walking by.
Mm.
Little tummy ache. No. It was just... Not that the food was bad, it was just, you know, with you're in that heat, and I mean, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I've got a little bit of a tan, because I feel a little bit of color on my face.
Oh, I'm sure we all do.
Which is a little bit unusual. But no, I mean, it's just one of those things you got to be careful with when you're out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the people who were drinking alcohol and...
Was there alcohol there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess beer vendors, huh?
Beer, there was margaritas, there was, you know, technically what they call malt liquors.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, even just drinking...
I didn't even notice that.
I chastised Judy for drinking a Coke.
Why?
The caffeine's not good for you in this heat.
Those of us who are addicted to caffeine need it, okay? Heat or not.
Whatever.
Yes.
But, so, we had that, and, you know, afterwards we had our parade. It's so different being at the front of the parade.
Oh, I'll bet.
I was down.
Yes, I recall those days. They were very, very nice. Now I was with the KPFT art car, and that was like number 80.
I was representing After Hours,
yeah,
on the Colt 45's float, part of their thank you for being a friend. And I was in 25. So, I got off the float, came over here to the studio, fiddled around a little bit, and walked back, and still had to wait for Jimmy to show up on there. But, you know, things move a lot faster when you're at the beginning of the parade. They seem to be a little slower. And fortunately, we have wonderful news. KPFT was not the first dead vehicle.
No, it wasn't.
We must congratulate Sue Lovell
mm-hmm.
for winning the Flummox Award, we'll call it.
Careful.
Her car lasted one block.
Oh, no.
We KPFT at least made it down to Katz's. Okay, we got a phone call we're going to
take? We have indeed. We have Jack Valinsky on the line.
Well, I just want to thank you all for being here, being part of Pride. We had an incredible, wonderful celebration.
Yes, and a much bigger crowd than last year.
Absolutely. And, you know, 3 months ago, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I have the best volunteers in the entire city. And I don't know if you saw the Chronicle today.
But no, I didn't.
Editorial called City of Tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends with, let me just read the last paragraph. To paraphrase the slogan of this year's event, Houstonians should say it out loud, that we are proud of the contributions of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender residents. This is the Houston Chronicle, who we used to not like.
Yes.
And the fact that they said it. It also talks about the fact that this is a city that elected Anise Parker and Sue Lovell.
And Sue Lovell.
And absolutely. And, you know, I know you talked about the history tent.
Yes.
And I am so proud of our organization and John Kellett and MCCR Church.
Yes.
And Eric Olenchek, who put this thing together. And, you know, there was...
And Larry from the Botts Collection.
Right. Yeah. I am just... And I only spent a few minutes in there because I had many other duties.
But I got to spend about 45 minutes. And, Jack, it was incredible. Some of the stuff that they have and that they were able to save, you know, because the church flooded.
Right. Right.
But
and our mission statement is to educate, commemorate, and celebrate.
You bet.
And that education part is so important to
us. Yes, it is. Yes,
it is. And, you know, I mean, I've worked in corporations. I know you have too, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody talked about product. You know, product is what you do for your organization. And I am so proud of this organization. You know, I worked full-time for Pride.
Mm-hmm.
And I will, you know, that's my disclaimer. And I get paid. That's my salary. But I have to commend all of the hundreds of volunteers, people who took their vacation time to put this thing together. Richard Proto and Peter Charvet, who did the festival. And I know you spent more time at it than I did.
Oh, it was marvelous.
I am just so proud. I mean, you know, we put on the entertainment. We have the divas and all this type of stuff. But we also had the community groups. And the nonprofit tent that was sponsored by the Bunnies.
Oh, I know. We were just talking about that.
It is just so, I am beside myself with this community.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know people sometimes come on and say, well, where's the community? Where's the volunteers? And you know, I got to pat our organization on the back a little bit for leadership.
Sure.
But it's the community that turns out.
Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of young people were at that festival.
Absolutely.
And that I really liked to see.
I am so proud that we have this, you know, we still got to work on some diversity, but we have in this organization young people and older people like me, you know, and it is so nice to see that. And the Chronicle editorial, actually the Chronicle story that came out later this night, they wrote about Stonewall.
Oh, did they now?
And it's just, you know, that they, you know, they're quoting me, of course, but that, you know, the story is where this all started. And I, you know, it's like, and you know, but at the same time, I'm going to challenge the community. I'm going to challenge us all. Do we go out and vote? You know,
exactly.
Are we part of a civil rights organization? How can we expect change if we're not part of a, you know, and it doesn't have to be the caucus. It could be HERA.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, it could be the HRC, Human Rights Campaign. It could be the Victory Fund. I mean, if we're not out there challenging, you know, and let's also move on to this, you know, why isn't the parade broadcasted live? Everybody says it's a great parade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why isn't there you know, they broadcast the art car parade.
Yes, they do.
King Day parade.
Yes, they do.
Why aren't they doing that?
That's
well, I mean,
true.
The first isn't the first step. This year, there was actually one of the TV stations in the parade for the first
time. Actually, this is the second year.
Second time?
Second year?
Yeah. KHOU Channel 11, second year, and the Chronicle, second year in the parade. So, and, you know, I'm also challenging, if you didn't like what happened, you know, if you didn't like the parade, you didn't like the festival, come to our meeting in July, on July 11th, 7 p.m., Metropolitan Multi-Service Center, 1475 West Gray. You know, we're going to do a decompression.
Yeah.
What worked, what didn't work. And we're not going to say, oh, we didn't do this because. You know, we're going to say, okay, how can we make this better?
Mm-hmm.
And the weather.
Well, yeah, that was the only drawback. You know, it was very hot, but the festival
was
really good.
It didn't rain.
Yes, it did. Yeah, that's right. It didn't.
And there was all these.
We had rain all week long, and then Saturday it was sunny.
Absolutely.
And where were the protesters?
Last year we had no protesters, and this year we had no protesters.
Oh.
So I don't know if we're so successful if we didn't get the protesters out.
Well, I was upset. I was thinking about the protesters, and it's like, you know, I want to start a group that's, you know, we're going to call the Rest of Leviticus, and we're going to go out and join the protesters, and we're going to have the God Hates Shrimp and God Hates Poly Cotton Blends. You know, Red Lobster's a Den of Iniquity.
Well, I think they've given up, you know, we've the community is for us, and I think they can see it, because every year it gets bigger and bigger. Was there a count?
Well,
an estimation?
There is no official count, and we don't know the real numbers. And in reality, the parade was a little bit smaller this year because some of the organizations couldn't do both the parade and the festival.
Oh, I see.
And that's fine. We understand that. Mm-hmm. That's great because, you know, some people want to come. I mean, look at Hera and the caucus.
Sure.
They said, okay, we can do better by registering people to vote, by getting their names
there
and putting them on our list. And that's great. That's great. And Legacy did testing, you know, HIV testing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's part of it. I mean, the festival, you know, we loved the fact that we had entertainment.
And well, you know, how long of a parade do you want? This one
exactly.
was, what, two hours and 15 minutes?
It was over by 11:30 in front of the grandstand.
Okay, 2.5 hours.
Right.
Yeah. More than that, and you're going to lose your crowd.
Exactly.
So I think you've just hit it right. And, Jack, I've got to tell you, being in the parade, it was smoother than ever before. There were all kinds of volunteers there helping out, and
we were a little bit short on volunteers for the parade because we had a lot working at the festival. But
mm-hmm.
the organization, Jason Aloha, who is the parade chair, did a fabulous job.
Yes.
Lynn Sixkiller, who handled all of our vendors. You know, we have to spend money to do this.
That's right.
And she did the best job to make us spend less money.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Charvet and Richard Proto, who were chairs of the festival, and Maxine Lewis, who was our volunteer chair,
mm-hmm.
did a fabulous job of getting volunteers.
Yeah.
And everybody else who was a volunteer, our board, I can't say enough for them because, you know, I know I get a lot of credit for this, but it's not just me. It is the entire community. And it's, you know, it's also the people in the parade.
Well, it's actually all of those people have been there and that come up through the ranks and only because of in way back when you and Carol decided, hey, we need to have a permanent organization here.
Right. Carol Clark, mm-hmm. Brian Kiever, and myself basically took this and made it the Pride Committee of Houston, which is now called Pride Houston.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that was in the editorial in the Chronicle today was the fact that about one-third of the people watching the parade through unscientific polls are from outside the metropolitan area.
Really?
So we have, and who comes to use, you know, Houston is not a tourist city, unlike Austin and San Antonio or New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we get these people here in June. You know, who comes to Houston in June?
Yeah, really.
So all these people are coming to spend money, to stay overnight in hotels, to mm-hmm. go to restaurants. So, you know, this parade and festival has an impact, a positive impact, on the city of Houston making money. And we're real proud of that.
Absolutely. You should be.
Yes. We're
you should
very,
be.
Well, we're proud of the community. And we'll be back next year, June 23rd,
mm-hmm.
2007.
Great.
Anybody who wants to get involved, go to pridehouston.org under volunteers, or get involved with another organization. You know, get involved in GCAM, get involved in KPFT,
mm-hmm.
All of that. I mean, this community is only vibrant because people care.
That's right. That's right. And let me tell you, the organizations out there are begging for help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you went to the community tent sponsored by the Bunnies organization,
mm-hmm.
you would have seen tons of organizations.
Yes. Yes.
That can all use your help.
You bet.
And if you don't like what they're doing, you know, a lot of these organizations will say, okay, come on, help us make us be better.
Exactly. Great. Jack, as always, I love having you on the air.
Well, thank you.
Wish you could have been here, but
I know I'm being lazy tonight.
But it's also, you know, we're at a later time too, and I know that
it's way past my bedtime.
Oh yes, absolutely.
But once a year.
Good.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Jack.
Chris.
All right, thank you, Jack.
We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. I love it when Jack calls in or comes by. Because he's the executive director of it all, you know, and it I'm not kidding when I say that each year it seems to run smoother and better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. Yeah, of course you can go through and everyone can find something there. But mm-hmm. yeah, well, like what Jack said, you know, if you think you could have done something better, something
yeah,
there,
yeah. In fact,
get your ass out and do it.
Exactly. And I love the festival. I don't like the heat, and I know that I saw a couple of people going around asking with a questionnaire about what do you think of the festival, how could it be better, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, I did see one person down when I was there
mm-hmm.
that was being attended to in an ambulance.
Okay.
Did arrive.
The only thing that could be better is to have it at George R. Brown, you know? It's the only thing. But then you're not in the Montrose.
Yeah. You know, with the, I mean, I've only been to Empower once.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have a totally different feel when you're...
Yes. You know, yeah, because you're outside the confines.
And
there's no indoor space in the Montrose that could accommodate.
Yeah. You know, night before we go into Kroger, move all the stuff out of the way.
I'm sure they'd love that.
We're going to put the disco back in the disco Kroger. You know. Yeah, that's the one thing. Well, actually, you know, even though with putting it indoors, you get more of that. You'll get the people putting in those convention booth things,
mm-hmm.
and you know where you kind of cubicle everybody in, and you know this is it's a little more organic with the outdoor. You know, you're in the big tent.
That's true.
And you know they just you know, it's just those walls. It's a Dilbert complex.
Gotcha. Let's see. We don't have any music queued up.
No.
No. Okay.
Well, let's just do this.
Thought we'd take a little break and then come back and talk with some other folks who were here at the station about what they liked or if they went to the festival, if they liked it, what they didn't like, and how they liked the parade. Of course, you've got to love the parade. Even though we didn't have a chandelier this year.
Yeah, I wondered that too.
Yeah, that was a shame. I missed that.
See, this is a wonderful thing. My sister-in-law is amazed that, you know, I can go to Walmart, put my hand in that $2 for $11 bin.
Yeah, and pull out.
And usually pull out a DVD for my nephew.
Oh, and you just did that?
I just did that. Stuck my hand where many have gone before.
Oh, my.
So let's put
TMI.
That. TMI. Let's push that magic button in.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Yes.
I picked up one of his other CDs. Let's try that again. The artist was good, the selection of songs on that CD.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't see...
Let me see. Oh. Well, look it. I've got...
I know, but I wanted something happy.
Oh.
I wanted something peppy, and I know from that CD and the collections of ones you sung on that are on there, mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel like Gilletting my wrist right now.
Well, why don't you talk about...
what, this?
Yeah.
So we'll move the calendar stuff?
Well, just that.
Just this one.
Know. Because that's...
We haven't mentioned this one yet.
No.
The final plans for the big Pride weekend on... Monday, June 26th, the Houston GLBT Community Center will be hosting a commemoration of the third anniversary of...
What?
Tim, you goofed up.
Okay.
Lawrence v. Texas.
Yes.
It's Lawrence and Gardner v. Texas. He put Lawrence v. Gardner. Well, you know, I mean, if they walked into the room at the time, it could look like a Lawrence v. Gardner, but it was Lawrence and Gardner v. Texas. The reception will be at the Baring and James Gallery, 805 Road Place, number 500, near the intersection of Taft and West Dallas. There'll be a number of distinguished individuals who join us to speak during the brief program. The poet and singer A.C. Coleman will read a poem of celebration. John Lawrence, one of the petitioners in the case, will be there. Mitchell Katine, the attorney for both Lawrence and Garner. Dennis Coleman, the regional director of Lambda Legal, Lambda Legal, which argued the case in the Supreme Court. Anise Parker, city controller. Sue Lovell, city council member. Garnett Coleman, state representative. Jennifer Renee Poole, the Houston GLBT political caucus. Ray Hill.
Of Ray Hill fame.
Yeah, they just put activist after it. They used his real name on this one here, Burton Bagby. Clarence, who was the community center president in 2003. When the decision was announced, he helped organize the community celebrations. The Lawrence B. Texas event, presented by the Houston GLBT Community Center, is open to the public with no admission charge, but they do welcome donations for the community center at the door. Once again, that'll be the Houston GLBT Community Center's commemoration of Lawrence B. Texas on Monday, June 26th. Oh, I guess this is why you wrote this up here at 6:30 p.m. is when it starts.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, you made two boo-boos. What are you sticking in there?
16.
Well, let me push this other button because you have it on continuous.
Because it... It's a song that we've played long before. You know, we didn't even talk about the opening music that we...
Oh, yeah. It was a cassette.
Yes, it was...
I love the 80s!
Pamela Stanley doing Coming Out of Hiding. It's a special Buddy Johnston mix. Buddy Johnston is the originator of this show, and he opened the show each week with that song. And all of those little pieces that you heard.
Hopefully heard, because it was
I know.
This is an old cassette.
Yes, it is. But it's the only copy I have. Little things from Harvey Milk about coming out, talking about the first March on Washington, which drew 500,000 people. And all kinds of other things of GLBT history. So right now, this is something else we used to play long ago, and it's still good, especially if you're a gay man.
Ready?
I am.
Moment mal. Ich bin ganz atemlos. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a
Yes, but you played the original.
Yeah, I know. If I played the orange, we'd actually see you moving around.
Yes, yes.
Oh, if I played the orange CD.
Oh, God.
Hey, at least I was also nice enough. You know, I played the short version.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
The other one's twice as long. That was The Village People from The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert CD. Push this button here.
And before that,
We had a little erasure
with Gimme, 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 A Man After Midnight. We're going to start off. We've got a lot of folks here at the station, but we're going to start out a little differently. We've got some straight folks, and I want to get their opinions of the parade. Hello, who do we have in the studio?
I'm April.
I'm Dustin.
Dustin. Sorry. Oops.
We'll see if we play Dust in the Wind.
I know. Well, I met him when I was all hot and sweaty. And, yeah. This afternoon at the festival.
Remember, 16 will get you 20.
Hey.
Who the hell said that?
Hey.
I'm sorry, that damn conscious of mine comes up every so often.
It's your life motto. What do you mean?
No, my life motto is if there's grass on the field, play on.
Oh.
Remember Ben from Hatch?
Yes. Never mind. Okay. Was this, first of all, was this your first Pride Parade?
Not for me. It's my second year coming.
Really? Mm-hmm. Really? Wow. And how did you like it?
I love it.
How about the festival?
I like it, too.
Okay. So what's there of interest for somebody straight to go to a Gay Pride Festival and Parade?
Just all the stuff they have.
Mm-hmm.
There was plenty of skin to be seen of both.
Yeah, no. Well, that's true. But,
yeah.
But, you know, it's like not available.
Sometimes
I told you there was beer coupons
right.
And margaritas, so that takes care of your six-pack and a shot of Cuervo.
Careful.
Yeah,
careful.
But if you're not the age, I mean, the music was good.
Yeah, it was. It was good. And I was surprised that there weren't more people there to enjoy it. I mean, the place was packed, but there were very few people really going to the stages and listening to the music.
The chairs were quite a ways back.
Well, no, they were out. The stages were out in the sun, and to you had to, if you wanted to stand out in the heat, that's fine. But the shade was far away.
Yeah. Don't be so shy.
Where were you? Where were you watching?
The music or the parade?
Oh, I'm sorry, the parade.
We were in the bleachers.
Oh, so you were right there by the judges.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. As everything, and the huge crowds. Yes, that's how so many people congregate right in there. That's right at the curve at Mary's.
Naturally.
Yes, yeah. Naturally. With the judges stand right across the street and bleachers right next door to Mary's, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, they blocked off the road there with more bleachers.
Yeah, so
those were the fops.
Did you get to see me take my bow on the top of the car?
No, I think we missed that.
Yeah, I think we did.
It's a tradition for me ever since I was male Grand Marshal in 1997 for the first nighttime parade, is to, when you get to Mary's, you stop the vehicle, and I stand up and take a bow, because Mary's is the oldest gay bar in Texas, for one thing, and it's had a checkered past. It used to be that when Pride Week was coming around, you expected the cops to raid Mary's, because they always did, for some reason. For no reason, actually, but just because it was, yeah.
It's also one of the few bars you can say in Houston that's also a cemetery.
That's true.
Ouch.
That's true.
No, it is. During the HIV/AIDS crisis, the beginnings of the crisis when so many were passing, their ashes were spread in the backyard, the back patio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So.
'Cause that's why the AIDS epidemic is one of the reasons that so many people convert to ashes Yes. Because in the early days, funeral homes would not take someone with AIDS who had died.
So it's a nostalgia bar.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's comparable to our Stonewall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, tell me about some of the floats that you like the best.
No, there were so many of them.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
That was
I know.
A lot.
Yeah.
But with being younger, I mean, you being the younger generation of those that are in here, you know, did it seem surprising to you to go to a gay pride parade and see, you know, the high school and college kids that were there? In something like this, you know, people think of gay pride parade and, you know, what you normally
so think
see.
Of drag queens and leather guys.
Yeah.
Well, it was strange to me at first because it's my first year coming to this. But after a while, I grew to like it. I mean, it's fun.
Good. That's what it's supposed to be. And it's supposed to be for the entire community, just not the gay community.
Yeah, because there's plenty of, you know, whole families out there with babies.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, when I was walking back, there was one guy who had one of those papoose carrying a baby in front, and it's like, you know,
wow.
People watch back a little bit because you're going to smash into this. It's not the head trauma we were expecting at the parade.
Some of the floats can get pretty elaborate, especially since we do nighttime parades with lights and all kinds of things like that.
Yeah, I was watching at the end here when Chipotle had their big inflatable burrito out in there. And I'm watching the guys underneath smoking cigarettes. And for some reason, the Hindenburg radio broadcast is going through my head. I don't know what they used to fill the thing up. It's probably helium, but you know. I think people who listen to this show enough know that I have a twisted sense of humor and would have expected to hear, oh, the humanity. But, I mean, did you come into seeing the parade with any expectation of what you thought you were going to see?
Well, at first, I'm not from Texas, so I've never seen a whole lot of gays, so I wasn't sure how to handle it at first.
Okay, then wait, hold on. Okay, what state are you from?
Iowa.
Wow.
Okay, and who did your makeup?
I did.
Okay.
What?
Hey. She was looking at me like, I can't believe you said that. I mean, did you not have any liquid paper to complete the goth look?
Ow!
No.
I'm sorry. This Iowa farm boy says, you know, I'm not used to seeing gay people. He's got black fingernail polish. His hair is spiked up.
Yeah.
He's got on more mascara than Tammy Faye.
Ouch.
He was meant for the Montrose. The Montrose is an area open to everybody.
You drop him off at Numbers afterwards?
Yeah, see? No, that's the place for you to go. Not Numbers.
Yeah. We used to have the Office Max here where you could have gotten the liquid paper. Kroger still might.
We're talking to the younger generation, but we don't know how old this younger generation is. How old are you two?
I'm 27.
Wow. You really?
Yes, really.
Oh my God.
We must see the portrait that's hanging in her closet.
Yeah.
Only gay men and old people will understand the Dorian Gray reference.
And Destin?
I'm 17.
Ah. Well, that's legal in Texas.
God damn, it's legal.
Yeah. 17 is legal for sex. For males.
Be afraid.
Yeah.
Be very afraid.
It's 18 for females, but it's 17 for males, so.
We'll get your mascara running by the end of the show.
No. You're safe here.
Oh, man. And their quote-unquote guardian just passed out. Don't worry, I'll just make you think you're back at work there. Don't worry.
Whoa. I hope you two enjoyed it, and we'll be coming back for more.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Good.
We hope to come back next year.
Good. Because that's what it's about. It's,
and we'll get you on the float, because we always need more pushers.
Well,
why don't you get her to get on the float?
Yeah. You know, and it's not just, it's the parade itself seems a lot more diversified than it has been in past years, because you have, like, Channel 11 News was in it.
The Houston Chronicle. I love their art
Chronicle?
Car.
Yeah.
Did you see the art car they had?
No, I didn't see it.
It's because their logo is this huge gold star.
Yeah.
It was a driving gold star going down.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was...
Oh, I did see that when in the lineup.
Yeah, that's the Houston Chronicle.
Oh,
one.
I didn't know it was... Oh.
Yeah. I was kind, you know, when Seashell, the Shell employees group, mm-hmm. and BP, their employees group went by, you know, I held back. I was about ready to start yelling, show us a gas card.
Yeah.
Throw me a gas card.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Except with my, I don't think BP has any stations around here. So.
Oh, well. Okay, you two. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you had fun. And I know you're anxious to get home.
Okay, thank
and we'll
you.
Get you next time.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Being here. I really enjoyed it today. I don't know if it's because there, all along the route there are very few places that didn't have a lot of people.
Yeah, no.
They're from the very beginning all the way down.
Yeah, I mean it was pretty well packed. I don't think it had the depth.
Excuse me.
It didn't have the girth, or the, you know, there wasn't as many packed in behind them.
I'm out of here.
Thank you.
We know that already.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Ooh, I love that look I'm getting. Spank me, mommy, spank me.
Yeah, I've been bad. I've been bad. Boy, that's going to take a lot of spanking.
You better start now because we only got 2 hours left, honey.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's get some more folks in here.
Why? I do have to step in and tell you that you are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston 89.5 Galveston, and always...
That's not
who
me.
Who the hell beeped?
Wasn't me.
Where was I?
Yeah.
I think I was in Galveston.
Rainbow?
Galveston. 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
No.
Oh,
what do you want? Rainbow has a report.
Jimmy only likes people shouting from behind him, well, on that rare occasion, but...
Careful.
What?
Being on those tables, no chewing gum. Those are the ground rules.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. No chewing gum is right.
He was in drab tonight.
I have a report.
Oh.
I drove down Westheimer.
Hold on.
Yes.
You're on three.
I drove down Westheimer. The streets are being cleaned. They're almost completely clean.
Yes.
I mean, they are cleaning these, except for the bleachers over there by Mary's. Underneath the bleachers, they can't get to that. But along the roadway.
And these are all.
You wouldn't even think there was a parade here.
And these, it's all done by Pride volunteers.
Well, I think they have some crews here.
Really?
Pull your microphone away from Roy, because I can hear him.
Yeah. Oh, he's on the phone.
Oh, okay.
So that was my latest report. The block before you turned right on, do you get to KPFT?
Yeah.
That has not been done, but basically all along the road route.
Okay, hold on.
Everything's in bags, it's in trash cans.
Wow.
And it's in dumpsters. What do you call those things? The rear loaders?
Ooh.
That's a garbage truck. That's a garbage truck.
Oh, okay.
I used to ride on the back of a rear loader.
Help it.
When I worked in the city.
Yeah, you did.
Rainbow would have ridden on the back of a rear loader.
Those were the days. Wasn't this a fabulous parade?
Yes, it was.
And another year without rain.
Yes. Yes, we had it all week long, and it stopped for today.
Yeah. It will never rain on our parade.
Hasn't yet in all the years, 20-some-odd years that it's been going on.
Well, since
27, 28 years?
28. Ever since I've been at the parade in 81, we haven't had a day that it rained on our parade, except in 91, the last entry as it crossed Mary's.
Yes.
We had a little downpour. I remember that year.
And
I
mean, it was very
light. Already done.
Yeah.
I mean, and considering the fact that, you know, this past week we had, you know, national news coverage of flooding in Houston.
Oh, my God. The whole world thought that the entire city was underwater.
Yeah, right? My brother called me. My sister called me.
Mayor White even used the A word Monday morning.
Oh.
Allison. He used that A word, so it was like, you know, that everyone was scared. It's like, you know.
Oh, well. I mean, I live near Hall's Bayou, and our road got flooded, but my mobile home stayed dry.
Yeah, I was out on the road at the time on Thursday when it hit, and I was stranded for about 70 minutes under an overpass on the Beltway with about 25 other people who said, that puddle's just way too big. So we held out on there. But one thing I'll have to say about the area on that, with one of the Pride Parade, is I almost ran off the road Friday on I-45 because I looked up and saw a gay pride flag flying on I-45 in the Greenspoint area.
Really?
All-Star Video, who was in the Pride Parade this year, that location looks like they took over an old car dealership.
Yeah.
And so it's got a round front to it, and it looks very different from others, and they've got an American flag and a Texas flag out front.
Wait a minute, I-45 where?
I-45 north between Greens and Rankin.
Okay.
On the west side of the freeway, the southbound side.
Oh, that's near Spring.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, normally they have the American flag and the Texas flag, and I just happened to look up and glance under the Texas flag. They were flying the Rainbow Pride flag.
Good for them.
Oh, my girlfriend.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I'll have to darken their doorway.
How many times have we heard that?
Do I need to get the that segue requires a Mamas and the Papas song.
No. Which one?
Well, I got down on my knees and I began to pray.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So every place that has a rainbow flag, you darken their hallways?
Are there, well, why not? I mean,
doorways.
That's right. That means they want my business.
And like I said, that was something, you know, a little surprising to see up in Guns Point.
Yeah, no kidding.
But,
so, Rainbow.
Yes, sir.
You have been in so many parades. How did you like this one as compared to past parades?
I have to analyze this later on.
And appropriately, Rainbow was, you know, Rainbow always is the last entry, so they give Rainbow a weird number all the time.
Yes.
And I think it was very appropriate this year, Rainbow was 666.
Oh my God!
I've been 666 a couple times.
Oh, yeah,
Jack Belinsky.
About how many entries did they have?
119. I was 119. Wow.
That was good. That's good.
But officially, my number is 666.
I gotcha.
And it's been given to me for the last couple of years.
Yeah. Unlike the movies, though, that feature 666, you're not raking it in.
Yeah. Well, you got to watch the whole parade and then just join at the end. Is that how that goes?
Well, I didn't get to see the first 30 floats
okay.
or 30 no. entries.
30. Okay.
Right.
But, I even helped try to get the people to move down a little bit, you know. Like I said, there's no gaps in our parade.
Hardly, no. On this one, there's very few gaps.
There are no gaps. Well, this is not the mall. Keep it going.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You're not at the mall. There are no gaps in our parade.
Well, the float that I was on was number, I believe, 40. I was with the GLBT Pagans.
Oh.
And, man, it was moving. Last year, we were 100 and something, and it stopped, go. And when you're drumming on foot, oh boy.
Yeah, no kidding.
We actually had a trailer this year, so that was cool. I actually had a blast, and I am ready and willing to do it all over again.
Did they go too fast for you this year? Or was there a gap?
There was actually a gap, but I didn't mind. We didn't pay any attention. We were just drumming away and
that's what I like,
shaking our little behinds. Yeah.
And motorized units need to understand if there's people walking behind you, you're going to cause a gap. So don't speed up just because you want to go.
Well, no. I also, some of those gaps come from your from your signers who sit there who will stop you. I know usually I'm further in the back, and this year when I was closer up, we didn't get the stop sign until just before the Grand Marshal's parade. The Grand Marshal stand. So, you know, but in past years it's like, you know, you get the stop sign at the beginning, and then at the end they're going, hurry up.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually when I'm walking.
Yes.
So.
We have a caller.
Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Brian again.
Oh.
Hi.
Just wanted to call in, say hi, happy Pride Day.
Well, thank you.
I have to hear y'all. I'm at my brother's house tonight. To hear y'all, I have to sit on the counter, and I have my Walkman sitting on top of their shelves.
I know the feeling.
Yep.
And
you're not the first.
I just wanted to say thank y'all for doing the show, and it's really cool, and I'll keep on listening.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that.
All right.
That's cool. Bye.
Talk to you later.
That's I like that.
He
was kind of
cute.
He does sound really cute, doesn't he? Whoa. Whoa.
You're spending too much time on those telephones.
Or mirror, not enough. One or the other.
He said he sounded cute. I'm still trying to think of what unit I like the best. I'm not.
I like Heroes.
That was a good one.
Which one?
I thought at first it was like a disco bar.
Oh, Eros 1207.
Eros.
Yes.
Yeah, the Eros, the...
The toy Greek, and yes, fashion store.
The Greek god of love.
Yes.
I was trying to remember. In
it's
Pasadena.
You're kidding.
Oh, yeah. It is in Pasadena.
It's at 1207, what's the street?
I think it's 1207 College.
No. It's a more famous street than that.
Shaver?
Spencer Highway?
Shaver.
Shaver?
Or Spencer Highway? I don't know.
I think it's Spencer. I think they're on Spencer Highway.
Yeah. One moment, please.
Oh, he's going to look it up. Oh,
here comes our co-producer. Yes. Checking it out on the web.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I spend so much time on the internet and playing on that. Yeah. You know, occasionally I do. Something well, on the other side. I guess
you mean when you're not on the porn sites.
I can't believe I hate I do this.
In fact, rainbow bracelet that I'm wearing, the rubber rainbow bracelet, says Eros 1207 on it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's 1207 Spencer Highway.
Okay. See, I knew it was the.
And I knew it was Spencer.
Hold on. I get half credit because if I remember correctly, College Avenue turns into Spencer Highway, and it's right at that juncture where it occurs.
Whatever.
But it says South.
Whoa. That's a pretty gutsy place to put a place like
there,
that.
There are other stores out in Freeport, Texas.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. Go to the beach and get some toys.
So lots of kinky people around, let me tell you.
I'll tell you this. I went into that store once, and, you know, that is the store.
I've never been there.
I never understood the fascination with leather until I went to that store.
Why?
And their entire leather section is in an enclosed room.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened the door and stepped in and went,
oh, yeah.
I understand it all now.
The smell of the leather.
I never understood it before. And then, you know, when you're smacked in the face with
new car
all of this leather smell.
Thank you for calling KPFTM, right?
Yeah. I mean, that just, you know, hit me. It's like, I can understand this stuff now. It makes sense.
Oh.
You know.
What are you talking about? What was it, Pasadena?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I used, you know, doing my entertaining and stuff like that and going out at night with my flamingo deliveries and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
I would drive down in the Pasadena area and put these displays out. But I would see cars parked in alongside the road or in the driveways. And they'd all have the rainbow little flag on it and everything. But a lot of gay people or gay-friendly people live in Pasadena.
Oh, I know.
Everywhere. Could you move to microphone 4, please? Use microphone 4.
No, I think you have the wrong one.
Over here?
No. Take that. That's microphone 3. Give that to Roy. Now grab to your left.
There isn't one.
On there.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Never mind.
Three. Someone took the damn microphone again.
I don't understand.
Well, who won the awards tonight?
We'll find out tomorrow, because that's when the awards presentation is.
Today. I hope the Pagans win one.
Well, today, yeah, later on today. Okay, it's official.
I'm trying to think of some other entries, though. I thought Jimmy Carper looked very good.
Thank you.
Jimmy always looks good.
Dressed entirely?
Sitting on top of a house or whatever.
Yes, it's his canopy.
I don't know what that was.
On top of the KPFT art car. I was like... 10, 12 feet in the air.
Oh.
Yes.
And you loved every minute.
I did.
It.
I did. Dressed all in pink.
You didn't get airsick?
The flashy shirt, you know, to... And then a pink boa. Naturally.
Well, naturally.
Yes.
He would dye his hair if it was any left.
Hey.
I could see you coloring your hair and Stanley coming in and looking at you going,
oh, no.
And just walking back out.
Yes, he would.
And the crowds are great, especially at the curve. Oh my God!
Isn't that when you come around that curve? Oh my God!
I always tell the people, when you get to the curve, everything changes.
Well, that's right. And I remember the years when it was very sparse the whole parade route until you got to the curve.
Right.
Yeah. But now the one thing I remember from the first Pride Parade I was in, it was. Back where we still had the disco ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit that curve and you come around and you see that. And it was like,
thousands of people in this huge disco ball.
What happened to the disco ball? What happened to the.
I think it deflated.
Yeah, the disco ball we're having trouble with. And we've had the Sesquicentennial.
I like the chandelier.
Yeah, who knows what happened with the Sesquicentennial?
Well, it belongs to the state of Texas, so...
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Rick, what did you do?
I don't know.
Hmm. But, that is that was originally the Sesquicentennial.
Mm-hmm.
It hung in the Capitol, I think it was, during the Sesquicentennial.
Yeah.
How many more times can I say Sesquicentennial?
Please don't.
And a few pluses on the parade. They also use the... the railings, or what do you call those things?
Yeah, they need to
get the crowd back.
They need to use a lot more of them.
That has been the biggest plus for the parade. Because it used to be the crowd would come out in the street and really...
When you get to the end of it, once you get past Montrose, they kind of ran out of railing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the crowd was on you.
Yes,
you
know, they were.
They weren't running out to you to have to give you a high five. They were already there.
But picture that all through the parade round years ago.
Absolutely.
That's the way it was.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah,
it was
that's why
the floats through, because the people were in the streets.
And I remember going to the Dallas parade like 10, 12 years ago, mm-hmm. and I saw how they did theirs with the railings, you know. I said, hey, we need to do this, you know. You know, put the gates, or what do you call them, the fences.
Yeah.
Defenses. And I think it has helped the parade move.
Yes, it has. It has.
Otherwise, we'd have a parade till 3 in the morning.
And, there's a lot of police officers out there. I'm wondering this, I keep hearing about a police officer shortage, and I kept looking down there. It's like, who was watched in the city?
I know it.
Yeah.
But I think they most of them volunteer for that duty.
Yeah. And if they, I believe that one guy was a cadet.
Ooh, I did like the police entry. Instead of being at the end of the parade, had an entry in the middle.
Well, good.
Yeah,
the cop cars with all the.
Mm-hmm. They were lining up right around the corner from where I was, and Andy Rose and I were drooling over the tall cop.
I see. Okay, we've got another caller.
Okay, caller, you are on the air.
Hello, it's Firewolf.
Hello.
Sorry I couldn't make it to the parade. Oh, by the way, one quick correction.
Yes.
It's about two or three blocks further down before college turns into Spencer.
Ah.
Or did y'all forget I live in Pasadena?
No, well.
I know you're also
but
going
at least,
there quite
often. But at least I get half credit. I knew college turned into
it. You get half credit. No, I wanted to ask, did y'all see my mom? She was on the GLBT float this year.
Who was your mom?
Rose Wall?
Yeah.
Rose.
No,
I was on the GLBT pagan float.
I saw your mom at the festival, but I didn't get to see...
Yes, I actually called her just before she got on the float.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was on the float this year.
Great. Great.
Oh, you missed a wonderful... It was fun.
I know, but I had to work.
Sorry.
Maybe
I am
year.
So sorry.
Yeah, plus I couldn't have made it down
it should be a national holiday.
Oh. It should.
Maybe next year, if I don't have transportation, Jimmy can come get me.
Maybe I can.
And I'll just hang out with you all night.
There you go.
Ooh.
Well, I just wanted to call and say happy Pride Day.
Well, thank you very much.
Y'all have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. And Pego was here earlier waiting on Rose.
Huh?
Hello.
That's creepy.
Well, you know, Lynn, we do know, you know, some of the people they hire, so, you know, that gives you an idea.
No. Okay.
Hi.
Do we have any other...
You want to hold on?
Do we have more folks?
Hold on a minute.
You want to come in and talk, or...
I don't know.
Have we finished talking with these folks, or what?
Hey, no, I was...
Well, Roy hasn't typed in yet, so...
That's good.
Hey, wait a minute. No, he's not.
Well, that's because Roy's busy answering the phone.
No, not right now.
You should?
You should be.
It's already taken care of. We got David in here now.
Oh.
Somebody who knows what he's doing.
Oh, okay. Good.
Anyways, you know, talking about the railings, I remember a few years back with the caucus entry, people just come running up to the float, a mobile float, and mm-hmm. they, gimme. I mean, it's kind of it gets kind of scary.
It can. Yeah.
It can get very scary. People going absolutely gaga over some cheap beads.
for those,
I think it's Mardi Gras in New Orleans, because that happens in New Orleans, even with those little railings, you know. Yeah.
For those of you who really get into that. I'll probably get in trouble with this. OrientalTradingCompany.com. You can order all that crap for cheap pricing,
mm-hmm.
and you can save your life.
Yeah.
Yes, really. Yes. However, tonight, you know, it was really something because the noise of the crowd was deafening. It took
an hour
and a half for my ears to stop ringing once I got to the station here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was fantastic. I had a great time. I hate... You know, that I missed last year's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the first time in, I don't know, 20 some odd years that I missed a parade here in Houston. And
well, I was in a weird position. I was, like I said, I was on the Colt 45's float representing After Hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting on a bale of hay next to the generator, and they kept blowing fog.
Oh.
I've always thought fog was an interesting special effect. But when you've inhaled it for that hour-long trip on that, you know, the one guy was saying, you know, I haven't needed a cigarette the whole time I've been here. I said, well, because that fog machine is polluting your lungs.
Yeah, but Chris, you know what? The KPFT machine, we made our own fog.
For those of you who saw the Colt 45's float and were wondering, it's not a bong. It was a still.
Yes.
The winning answer is still. Yeah, they had a distillery, you know, like we're making moonshine.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
I thought that was an interesting entry also.
Yeah. And unfortunately, they just used duct tape to make the X's on the front so you could tell it was for alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have them use light brights or light sticks next time.
But you were on the Colt 45's float for a reason.
Yes, I was, like I said, I was representing After Hours.
Mm-hmm.
Their theme this year is thank you for being a friend.
Yes.
And, you know, both at the Louis Show shows and some of the other stuff that they've been doing, they thanked us for, you know, the fact that we gave them airtime to talk about their fundraisers and their events.
Yeah. And in fact, they'll be here next week.
Yeah, so I was hoping they were going to be coming here this week, but between Mary's and some of them had stuff at the Ripcord afterwards.
Imagine that.
Don't judge. And I always like the P flag entry.
Oh, everybody always likes it.
The families come out and it's just,
mm-hmm.
they work hard on their entry, and it's a walking unit, it's a driving unit, they made signs.
Okay, you gotta get closer to your mic because I have it full blast and I still can't.
They use their creativity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I gotta figure out.
I wish more people would use creativity also.
Yeah. I didn't get to see it in the parade. But, you know, like I said, I live out in Willowbrook, and coming down 249 to get to 45 to come in town,
mm-hmm.
I was behind a pride float.
Oh, my.
I don't know whose group it was. It was a truck pulling a trailer, and all I always know it was a pride float is because of the rainbow striping on the side. And it's like, they're coming
was
out.
It the spring entry, do you think?
No, that would be from further north. It was still on 249 mm-hmm. at the Beltway. So it was something that was earlier on. Do we have a?
There is a call.
Is there a call? Is this person going to go on air or what? Yep. Okay.
Ready? Oops. Ready?
No, you pushed the two button.
Ready?
Caller, you are on the air.
Good evening. How is everybody?
Wonderful. Who are you?
Well, this is David. I'm with Eros 1207. Had a great time in the parade. Being in the parade, you don't get to see all of it.
That's
right.
The
crowd was wonderful.
Yes, yes. Eros 1207?
Yes.
Imagine that. We've just been talking about you.
That was my favorite entry.
Yeah. I guess I turned in a little late. I hope it was all good.
Oh, it's all good. Oh, yes. We had a little discussion, not a discussion about your store, of course, but the location.
Well, we're at 1207 Spencer Highway.
Right.
And 45 South to College, left on College. It turns into Spencer after you cross Highway 3.
There you go. And that was, yes, we had another person call in to give us that information.
Good deal.
We knew it. Yeah, we looked up your website and found out that it was Spencer Highway.
That was our next project after the
project. All they had was the address of it. Well, they're under construction.
Now, I've never been to your store. You've been on After Hours, or people representing Eros have been on After Hours on more than one occasion.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And so tell me, what is it that you carry? What is it that you sell? I know you have stuff for kinky people. Do you have stuff for vanilla people?
We have a large, what we call the family room, large LGBT room. We have what we call the dungeon. But we have the toys that you normally can only find on the internet and have to buy them without ever seeing them until you get them and find out it's not really what you wanted.
Yes, happened to me.
We've got all the toys there, and you can actually, you know, see them and feel them and touch them and taste them and whatever you want to do.
I like this place already.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I get a feeling I'm dropping Jimmy off down your neck of the woods tonight.
But Eros 1207 is well known in the gay community because it seems like anytime anybody asks you, anytime people doing a fundraiser ask you for something, you're right there. With gift certificates and toys and all kinds of different things.
The owners have tried to. I had to laugh a couple of weeks ago. A customer asked, you know, what the hell is this store going gay or what? I said, well, maybe we're gay owned and operated, all right? So, the owners really do try to stay active and support the community, and we're really hoping to get more of our own family and community down to the store.
Good.
We deal with a whole lot of straight couples, and they're a lot of fun, but seems like our own community can be a whole lot more fun when they come in the door.
Exactly. I think you're right. Well, that was great.
Y'all have a wonderful night. Thanks so much for the show.
And thanks
we'll
for calling.
You, later.
You bet. That is true. Almost every fundraiser I go to, there is, you know, if they're doing a silent auction or something like that, something from Eros 1207 has been donated.
I'm pretty sure that, I forget which, if it was Max or if it was Eden, it was Eden, the Toys of the Month.
Oh, yes, came from Eros.
And the
gifts.
So.
Yes, when she did the, she was doing, she kind of started that Toy of the Month thing.
Yeah. And when Christmas came around.
Woo! Yes, she brought her whole bag full. Oh, yes, and gave some out over the air.
And I got to admit, if you didn't see the Eros entry, you really missed out on something.
The silver painted gentleman.
Yes, I'll tell you.
With the silver stretch nylon.
Lycra.
Three sizes too small bathing suit.
Yeah.
That's what I get for.
Remember when I was looking for the KPFT entry when I got to Alabama and Woodhead, and you know I'm going on down Woodhead and looking for the entry, and I come across the Eros float. I tell you, my knees got weak, my mouth got watering,
I know.
I was an automatic pilot, and I had to keep telling myself, "Roy, you're in public, you're in public, you're in public."
I mean, that's the fun thing of seeing some of the different ways in the entry. I was, you know, I don't know if it's a particular interest of mine or that. I always look for the Asian and Friends organization, and you know, in pastures, I've often joked that there seem to be more friends than Asians.
Apparently,
they've had a recruitment drive.
Oh, good.
And they came down. They have got to get. I'm going to file a check for it. I guess they're considered a walking unit.
Mm-hmm.
They have got to get it for it because they came down with one of those Chinese dragons.
I saw that. That was cool.
Oh.
So they actually walked the parade twice because they had to keep serpentining it.
That's
so
right.
Rather than walking... This is
just straight down the street.
This is the epitome of a gay pride parade. This was one group that did not go straight. They curved, they asked, and
I work both sides of the street too.
No, and it was,
always work the side. That's why I like. That's what's good about a walking unit. If you want to do it right, you work the crowd on both sides of the street.
That's right.
And this dragon, I mean, it's when they did their curves, it stretched from side to side.
Wow.
And there had to be. Four or five links, four or five segments to it that were curving, and they went down the whole time.
Wow!
I was looking down and I saw that, and it was like, first the guy on the rickshaw comes by, a bicycle rickshaw. And then, you see this dragon coming down, and it was just, it was something that really catches your eye.
Wow.
On seeing that, because the other ones, you go through this stuff there, I got a little misty-eyed touched when seeing the fire truck come down.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things. Sometimes when I'm not feeling that great, I get a little sentimental. So something like that happens. So simple things will trigger me. That was something I thought was nice seeing. The fire truck. We've got now three or four different ambulances.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. If I got to call 911, I'm going to request.
I see.
And, one thing that was interesting was there was three colleges that got together and made one entry.
Really?
University of Houston, Sam Houston State, and North Harris County.
Wow.
Got together and they put their three groups together and they marched as one unit.
That's nice.
On that, so...
Not to break the flow here, but I mentioned earlier that when we were talking about Mary's, that was the oldest gay bar in Texas.
Yes.
And I had a question about how old is it, and I can't answer that, but it opened sometime in the 70s.
And you've got to consider it, in normal... in the quote-unquote straight community, a bar doesn't have a really long life.
No.
Even, Gilly's wasn't around long, and that's worldwide known.
Yeah.
And especially in the gay community, especially around nowadays, they kind of pop and flow and, change quite a bit.
Now, there is a bar in Galveston called the Contiki, and I danced in that bar in 1967. However, it's kind of come and gone. It's it'll be around for a while, then it won't be around, and then somebody will resurrect it. And the last time it was, I can't remember the man's first name. It was his name, Garza's Contiki. So I don't know what's going to happen to that bar now.
Yeah.
It just keeps being resurrected, and that's a good thing because it's a name that people recognize.
Yeah,
international.
Now another interesting thing about and I got this from Channel 13 News last night is that there was an official high school entry.
Yes, Conroe High School's GSA.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think that has to be a first that I can think of an official high school.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the GSA, and that's one thing you're seeing an increase in. There is in
the Gay Straight Alliances.
Yeah. Well, let's see. It was at Atlanta. Their grand marshal was the teenage girl who tried to start a GSA and had to fight for that.
Yeah.
I think it was Atlanta. San Francisco had at the beginning, walking with the mayor, was the Los Altos?
Alamos?
No, not it's in California, not Alamos. Los Altos, I think.
Mm-hmm.
GSA, who It was the GSA group there in that town that got the Pride Parade put together.
Wow.
They weren't going to have a Pride Parade, and it was these high school students who said, we're going to do it. And that's
pretty amazing.
Unfortunately, I didn't keep that one.
That's
story there. But that's the fact that, you know, that they got that, that they were given that portion of, mm-hmm. you know, the mayor of San Francisco invited them, come on and march with me.
So we've got another caller.
Another caller? Caller, you're on the air?
Yes, this is Scott Billingest.
Hi, Scott.
Mary's opened in 1970.
That long ago?
Yeah, and I first set foot in there in 1971, probably the summer,
mm-hmm.
and I heard Take a Walk on the Wild Side on KPFT today or yesterday, and that is, in my mind, inextricably bound with Mary's, because there was a time in the summer of 1971 when they were playing it all the time, and in fact, they had for a while they had painted on their window the Wild Side.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I remember that. And I didn't go to Mary's until about 1975, 1976.
Yeah.
That was my first time at Mary's.
Yes, and it started in the Nixon administration.
Ooh.
And it outlived the Nixon administration.
Yes.
And in the summer 1971, on Sunday afternoons, it seemed to be rather populated with smoke from the evil weed.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Ah. Nixon, yeah, it was pretty wild back then.
Must have really upset Mr. Nixon.
Well, too bad for him.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, you know, I saw a sign that said, during the parade today, a sign from one of the parade goers that said, weed is a plant, Bush is a dope.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that sign. I thought that was very, very clever. Yeah, I thought that was clever. So, gosh, that would qualify it as the longest... continuously.
Probably the second one is a Briar Patch, but it closed recently.
Yes, it did. In fact, it was open in the 60s.
Yeah, and there were two bars that I think started in the 30s, the Exile mm-hmm. and
Pink Elephant.
Pink Elephant, but they closed in 1984.
That's right. Long ago.
The Exile survived in 1985, but not much longer than that.
No.
And by end of 85, they had torn down both buildings.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it was that long ago.
Yep.
Yeah, because that was downtown, and now it's a parking garage.
Yeah, I think Pink Elephant started in 1937.
Goodness.
Pink Elephant was the very first gay bar that I... came to in
yep.
really?
It's probably the first gay bar in Houston I heard of, but I didn't set in foot in it until 1980.
Yeah, that sounds about right for me.
Yeah.
I did get to go there once, so I can say I've been to the Pink Elephant, and I went to the Exile a number of times.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, if you'll remember that cowboy painting...
Yes, I remember the cowboy painting.
It's now at the community center.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay, at 3400 Montrose?
Yes, that's right, second floor.
Suite 207.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, Pink Elephant was my first gay bar, then Exile, and my third one was the Chicken Coop. And then I went to my fourth one, which was right across the street, the Midnight Sun. And I haven't been right since.
Yeah, I don't think I was ever at the Chicken Coop.
No, I was there once very quickly.
Some people in the civic clubs were very delighted when it was torn down.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
I know. Well, Scott, thank you for calling in.
Sure thing.
I love the history. And now it's out in the air and it's on tape.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye.
Scott Tillinghast is, I would say he is the one of the queer historians.
Have you interviewed him yet for your series?
Not yet. Not yet. But he is a wealth of information. Absolute wealth.
I've got the correction here. It's the Los Altos High School Gay Straight Alliance. They're marching in the San Francisco Pride Parade with Mayor Gavin Newsom's contingent. They're celebrating or gaining a hard-fought nod from their own city council to have their parade on June 4th. The city council said no, and they actually got it reversed. So I wasn't sure, like I said, what the city was on that. Parade stuff from around there. We haven't talked about Kevin Avance. He is a... that has a call coming in. He is a drag performer known back east who a couple weeks ago was attacked by a couple of New York's hooligans. And he was scheduled to be in the Pride Parade in New York. And he had his jaw wired. His leg is in a cast. But he will be in the Pride Parade. They are going to unwire his jaw. He's getting his mouth unwired for one day so that he can be done up for the Gay Pride Parade on Sunday.
All right.
Wow.
He's gotten, you know, calls of support from Janet Jackson, Tyra Banks, Gail King, and Deborah Cox. With his jaw was broken in a vicious beating in the East Village. He will be in full drag on the HX Magazine's Big Pink Elephant Float. He's also floating a book proposal titled "The Valuable Lessons My Mom Taught Me." So that's one of the things. It actually was in some of the press, but we hadn't talked about that. That attack on that was just something that just came through on the gay news wire. They're worried about the Stonewall Inn. It's not the original location where the original Stonewall was that was in the riot, but they're saying they're not getting a lot of attendance in there at the Stonewall, and the owner's getting a little frustrated with it.
Hmm.
So he's a little worried. And also another part is that the community groups there are saying, it's a blight on the neighborhood.
Oh.
So
they've always said that about the Stonewall.
Yeah. So they're, it's difficult to see, that's why we were in the bar district tonight doing a pride parade. Here's another little cutesy story there. From Idaho.
Who don't
know? The Gay Pride Parade in Boise. Raymond Rodriguez may have expected some feedback when he showed up at the Boise Gay Pride Parade carrying a sign that read, "Homosexuality is an abomination." He was not, as you might imagine, the most popular guy on the block. But now he's filed a report with the Boise Police Department because he was attacked by gay rights supporters who thought his presence was, to say the least, inappropriate. Rodriguez, who's a regular fixture outside the Planned Parenthood, said he was hit, spit on, and attacked with metal crutches. "People actually wanted to hurt us," Rodriguez, 21, said. The "us" he refers to as his brother and father, who also held signs reading, "America needs to repent and gay is unnatural." Without a suspect identified, Boise police spokesperson Lynn Hightower said there's not much for officers to go on. Rodriguez said that although gay rights supporters asked that he be arrested for disrupting a peaceful event, he agreed to leave. My response is to that, you're in Idaho, be thankful you didn't get a russet planted in you.
I can't believe that kid's only 21.
In your tailpipe.
Yeah.
So were there protesters in our parade?
Supposedly not.
I didn't see any. I was at the inn. I thought maybe they gave up or something like that.
No, when I went by at 25 there, Jack said that when Jack Flincy was on the line earlier, he said that there wasn't any.
Well, Fred Phelps heard that you were interested in one of his relatives. I mean,
oh my God,
he's got a cute grandson. I'm sorry, but no. Like I said, if there was, I suddenly hit me earlier today that If we get the protesters out there again, I want to get a contingency together. We'll even be a float in the parade. You know, we're going to call it the rest of Leviticus. And we're going to go out there and we're going to join the protesters and we're going to educate them on the rest of the abominations. Have a sign that says, God hates shrimp. God hates poly cotton blends. You know, Red Lobster is a den of iniquity.
Don't touch the carcass of a dead pig.
You know, just go out there, you know.
Like football?
Yeah, just bring in the rest of the stuff there. And, you know, let's just join and say, hey, you know, because those people aren't very intelligent. So all they're going to see is God hates, and they're not going to pay attention to the shrimp part. If you don't believe me about this, go to GodHatesShrimp.com.
Oh, my God.
God hates shrimp.
GodHatesShrimp.com. And you will be able to understand. It's true. In Leviticus, it says you can't have shellfish.
Right.
And you can't eat bugs under Levitican law.
Have you ever actually eaten a bug?
Not that I know.
Well, certain bugs. You know, if it flies, you can eat it. If it scurries on the ground, you can't. But, you know, part of what it says is you can't eat lobster, you can't eat shrimp, you know. And like I said, red lobster is a den of iniquity.
Chris, Chris, you spend too much time on the internet looking this up.
Well, you know,
no, it's in your Bible, really.
Yeah,
it's in the Bible. Leviticus says that. And then, how many concubines do you own?
I'm not answering.
And
that.
How many wives do you have?
And don't touch them when there is that time.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
biblical discussions.
The one thing that, you know, the one reason I came to that was that they also have a thing that's called a church sign generator on that website. And you type in you pick which church sign you want it to be on, and you type in the message, and it creates an image that you can put on your website. And I did this for a couple of years. I did this a couple of years ago when I hosted an event. I go, "Welcome to ECC 04. Don't do anything we'll have to condemn you for." And I sent it to our club president, and he thought it was cute, so he sent it to some of his friends. And some of his friends were like, "Is there a church that really has that on their sign?" They also have a cute one there. That they also have political ones, so you can actually. You know, you can play Karl Rove and put words actually into George Bush's mouth.
Oh, that's not hard to do if you're Karl Rove or Dick Cheney.
Yeah, but no, this you type in the caption and it creates a. Well, yeah. Yeah, here we go. God hates shrimp. What?
Karl Rove.
Oh. Yeah, I guess yeah. Karl Rove. You know, any further?
It's a Frank Oz.
Yeah, he would just you know. He just needs the red hanky. God hates shrimp. Leviticus 11:9-12. Shrimp, crab, lobster, clams, mussels, all these are an abomination before the Lord, just as gays are an abomination. So why stop protesting at gay marriage? Bring all of God's laws into the heathens and sodomites. We call upon all Christians to join the crusade against Long John Silvers and red lobsters. Yes, even Popeye shall be cleansed. The name of Bubba shall be an antithem. We must stop the unbelievers of destroying the sanctity of our restaurants.
Pass the butter, please.
So, yeah, the, like one of the church signs they have on there, pinch the tail, suck the head, burn in hell.
That could be a parade entry.
We have to find out who made this into the new one.
Joe Decker and Ryland Sanders.
Oh, my God.
And I think we just lost a whole bunch of listeners on that one.
So, no, Chris is going to be getting a whole bunch of hate mail.
Okay, we can't have lobster. We can't have pork. We can't have...
Oh, you can't...
Because you're a dork.
You can't mix your dairy. You can't mix your dairy like milk and cheese or... Egg and cheese, you can't, you're not supposed to mix that.
We can't have
weenies. Is that good dairy now?
I don't know. I worked for a guy that we, for a couple of weeks, who, I know we did a lot of work for an Orthodox Jewish church, and I swear to God, I saw him eating a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. Which is your pork, and you're mixing meat with dairy.
And what was he wearing? Was he making mixed clothes, or what do we call it?
I don't know.
Was he wearing polyester?
Yeah, that was a strange little job I had. Yeah.
For some reason, of those.
Yeah.
So basically, in the Bible, they condemn pork,
mm-hmm.
shellfish, and tube steak.
Yeah.
Okay. Clarifying.
And cheese.
Point of information.
It's like in the movie Common Ground, the one scene where they're saying there. He said, "I understand Leviticus, Dad. You know, I've read it back and forth. I'll take the sausage out of my mouth when you take the sausage out of your mouth."
Oh my!
Ouch. And that was being said to Ed Asner.
Oh my gosh, that's too funny. What else?
I think we need to play a song.
We're going to play, yeah, let's play a little music, and then we'll come back, we'll talk a little bit more. And then we've got for you, fortunately we found it deep in the bowels of Jimmy's apartment.
Oh my God.
Which has been recently cleansed. We have got the Stonewall tape. So those of you who don't know what we're doing and what we're talking about, we're going to bring that to you. We're kind of playing a little bit of classic music, you know, some of the music from the past, you know, of what the show was and that. So usually I only play this when Jimmy's not here. So he'll have to listen to it now. Sylvester, you make me feel... let me make sure I put the right one. Yeah, you make me feel mighty real. This is KPFT After Hours.
mind. Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul.
Heather Small with Proud.
I love that song. I never get tired of it. Never.
And before that, we played Sylvester, You Make Me Feel, Mighty Real.
One of our late, great national treasures.
I figured since we're doing some of the classic themes there.
Yeah.
Classic songs
I
there.
Like that. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, usually I play Sylvester when you're not here.
Why? I love Sylvester.
I don't know. It's just for some reason when... when you're not the first week that you're not here for something,
mm-hmm.
I play Sylvester. It just always happens that way.
Huh.
It's your era, girl.
I don't know. Yeah, it is my era. It really is.
The first week would be Sylvester. The second week is Go West by the Pet Shop Boys.
Before before South Beach, I like to play that Going to Heaven song by Sylvester.
I like Go West by Village People.
Oh, yeah. And he played it tonight,
too. I played that because he...
The original version, yes.
Although we went east.
And not... Well, whatever.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Now we've got a special that we try to do every year. And this would be a great time to do it, because the reason we have the Pride Parade at the last Saturday in June is because we're celebrating the Stonewall riots that occurred in New York in 1969. And we have a special tape that was done, gosh, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. But there's interviews with people who were there at Stonewall, including the police.
And this is a way that people... Hold on. And guess who wants to chime in?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to say that we also had a caller not that long ago who wanted to know more about Stonewall. And so this is going to be an excellent opportunity for people to learn about
Stonewall.
Yeah, because some people don't understand why it is, what it is that the event started around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why we march in June in this godly oppressive heat.
Yes, I know.
You know,
yes.
Why do we are the only parade that still goes through, doesn't go downtown and march around the George R. Brown and Minute Maid Park?
Yeah, well, because a gay parade needs to be in the Montrose.
Yeah. It needs to be in our home where we're comfortable.
Yes.
Playground. It needs to be a playground.
Yeah. Yes. And we have to commemorate the fact that, yeah, we're celebrating a riot,
yes,
a revolution that occurred in the Bar District.
Yes.
And that's why we're doing it here.
So let's get to it.
Let's do it. I got to push this button to shut you off first.
Okay.
And there we go. Here we go.
Today, this white two-story building across from Sheridan Square in Greenwich Village is a clothing store and a closed Chinese restaurant. 20 years ago, this was the Stonewall Inn. I'm Michael Shirker, and I'm working on the first comprehensive history of the Stonewall riots. In 1969, the Stonewall was one of the most popular gay bars in New York City, and, like all other gay bars, was routinely raided by the Vice Squad. The patrons of these bars, many of whom were frightened at having their identities revealed, would quietly submit to any orders coming from the police. Yet, on June 27th, 1969, that all changed. The patrons of this bar, with the drag queens at the forefront, decided to fight back against the police. What happened here on that night would spark a revolution.
I'm Gene Harwood, and my age is 80.
I'm Bruce Merrill.
He also would like to know what your age is. So you
my age? 78?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't know if it's really true, but now people do refer to us as the two oldest gay men in America. We do, have maybe a record relationship of almost 60 years together. Bruce's memory started going bad in 1984. Fortunately, we have our music together, which we've done over the years. We've written any number of songs. Bruce remembers the melodies very well and the lyrics of the songs.
When you touched me, when you took my hand, something happened. I had never planned.
Being gay before Stonewall was a very difficult proposition, because we felt that in order to survive, we had to try to look and act as straight as possible, the general attitude of society as far as employers were concerned and landlords. All of these people were very hostile, and to protect ourselves, we had to act as rugged and manly as possible to get by in
my name is Randy Wicker. I was the first openly gay person to appear on radio in 1962 and on television in 1964 as a self-identified homosexual. In the year before Stonewall, people felt a need to hide because of the precarious legal position they were in. They would lose their jobs. There was a great hostility, socially speaking, in the sense of people found out you were gay, they assumed you were a communist or a child molester or any of another dozen stereotypes that were rampant in the public media at the time.
I'm Jerry Fair, and I'm 80 years old. I started a gay lifestyle in 1948 when I was around 39 or 40. At that time, if there was even a suspicion that you were gay, that you were a lesbian, you were fired from your job, and you were in such a position of disgrace that you slunk out without saying goodbye even to the people that liked you and you liked. Never even bothered to clean your desk. You just disappeared. You just disappeared. You went quietly because you were afraid that the recriminations that would come if you even stood there and protested would be worse than just leaving.
My name is Sylvia Rivera. My name before that was Ray Rivera until I started dressing in drag in 1961. The era before Stonewall was a hard era. There was always the gay bashings on the drag queens by heterosexual men, women, and the police. We learned to live with it because it was part of the lifestyle at that time, I guess. But none of us were very happy about it.
My name is Seymour Pine. In 1968, I was assigned as deputy inspector in charge of public morals in the first division in the police department, which covered South Manhattan from 38th Street to the Battery, including the Greenwich Village area. It was the duty of public morals to enforce all laws concerning vice and gambling, including prostitution, narcotics, and laws and regulations concerning homosexuality. The part of the penal code which applied to drag queens was section 240.35, section 4. Being masked or in any manner disguised by unusual or unnatural attire or facial alteration, loiters, remains, or congregates in a public
place. At that time, we lived at the Arista Hotel. We sit around, just try to figure out when this harassment would come to an end. And we would always dream that one day it would come to an end. And we prayed and we looked for it. We wanted to be human beings.
My name is Red Mahoney. I've been hanging out, drinking, partying, and working in the gay bars for the last 30 years. In the era before Stonewall, all of the bars, 90% of the bars, were mafia-controlled. They were controlled because the mafia had the right connections. There wasn't that many gay bars. You'd have maybe one, two uptown on the Upper East Side. They would get closed down, and there'd be one or two on the West Side. They'd get closed down, and Midtown, there'd be one, two, three maybe open. As they would get closed down, they'd move around, and they were dumps.
I'm Joan Nessel, co-founder of what is now the largest collection of lesbian culture in the world. The police raided lesbian bars regularly, and they did it they both did it in the most obvious way, which was hauling women away in paddy wagons. But they did, there was regular weekend harassment, which would consist of the police coming in regularly to get their payoffs. And in the Sea Colony, we had a back room with a red light. And when that red light went on, it meant the police would be arriving in around 10 minutes. And so we all had to sit down at our tables. And we would be sitting there almost like school children. And the cops would come in. Now, depending on who was on, which cop was on, if it was some that really resented the butch women, who were with many times very beautiful women, we knew we were in for it, because what would happen is they would start harassing one of these women and saying, "Hi, you think you're a man? Come outside, we'll show you." And the woman would be dragged away. They throw up against a wall, and they'd say, "So you think you're a man? Let's see what you got in your pants." And they would put their hand down her pants.
The Stonewall, oh, that was a good bar. That was. Just to get into the Stonewall, you'd walk up and you'd knock on the front door. You'd knock and the little door would open and, "Hey, what do you want?" "A Mary sent me." "Good, come on in, girls." You know, when you walked in, to your right was your bar room, no windows. Down at the far end of the bar was an opening in the wall going into the dance room with the jukebox in that room, and no windows in that room either. The Stonewall, like all gay bars at that time, were painted black. Charcoal black. And what was the funny part? The place would be so dimly lit, but as soon as the cops were going to come in to collect their percentage or whatever they were coming in for, from it being a nice, dimly lit dump, the place was lit up like Luna Park.
You felt, well, two guys, and that's very often all we sent in would be two men, could handle 200 people. I mean, you tell them to leave, and they leave, and you say, "Show me your identification," and they all take out their identification and file out, and that's it, and you say, "Okay, you're not a man, you're a woman, or you're vice versa, and you wait over there." I mean, this is a kind of power that you have, and you never gave it a second thought.
The drag queen took a lot of oppression, and we were at a point where I guess nothing would have stopped us. I guess, as they say, or as Shakespeare says, we were ladies in waiting, just waiting for the thing to happen. And when it did happen, we were there.
On Friday night, June 27, 1969, at about 11:45, eight officers from Public Morals 1st Division loaded into four unmarked police cars. From their headquarters on 21st Street and 3rd Avenue, they headed downtown and then west towards the Stonewall Inn here at 7th Avenue and Christopher Street. It was the second time the bar was raided that week. The local 6th Precinct had just received a new commanding officer who kicked off his tenure by initiating a series of raids on gay bars. And New York was in the midst of a mayoral campaign, always a bad time for homosexuals. Mayor John Lindsay had good reason to agree to the police crackdown. He had just lost his party's primary and needed a popularity boost. And the Stonewall Inn was indeed an inviting target. Operated by the Gambino crime family without a liquor license, this dance bar drew a crowd of drag queens, hustlers, minors, and more masculine lesbians known as bull dykes. Many were black or Hispanic. It was a warm night in New York City and a somber day for many. Judy Garland, who had died earlier in the week, was buried that morning. It was almost precisely at midnight that the Morrill Squad pulled up to the Stonewall Inn, led by Deputy Inspector Seymour Pine.
There was never any reason to feel that anything of any unusual situation would occur that night.
You could actually feel it, yeah. You really could. I guess Judy Garland's death just really helped us really hit the fan.
For some reason, things were different this night. As we were bringing the prisoners out, they were resisting.
People started gathering in front of the Sheridan Square Park right across the street from
Stonewall. People were upset. No, we're not going to go. And people started screaming and hollering.
One drag queen, as we put her in the car, opened the door on the other side and jumped out. At which time we had to chase that person, and he was caught, put back into the car. He made another attempt to get out the same door, the other door, and at that point we had to handcuff the person. From this point on, things really began to get crazy.
My name is Robert Rivera, and my nickname is Birdie, and I've been cross-dressing all of my life. I remember the night of the riots. The police were escorting the queens out of the bar and into the paddy wagon. And there was this one particularly outrageously beautiful queen with stacks and stacks of Elizabeth Taylor-style hair. And she was asking them not to push her. And they continued to push her, and she turned around and she mashed the cop with her high heel. She knocked him down, and then she proceeded to frisk him for the keys to the handcuffs that were on him. She got them, and she undid herself and passed them to another queen that was behind her.
Well, that's when all hell broke loose at that point. And then we had to get back into the Stonewall.
My name is Howard Smith. On the night of the Stonewall riots, I was a reporter for the Village Voice, locked inside with the police, covering it for my column. It really did appear that that crowd, because we could look through little peepholes in the plywood windows, we could look out, and we could see that the crowd, well, my guess was within 5-10 minutes, it was probably several thousand people. And 2,000, easy. And they were yelling, "Kill the cops. Police brutality. Let's get them. We're not going to take this anymore. Let's
get
them."
We noticed a group of persons attempting to uproot one of the parking meters, in which they did succeed. And they then used that parking meter to as a battering ram to break down the door. And they did, in fact, open the door. They crashed it in, and at that point was when they began throwing Molotov cocktails into the place. It was a situation that we didn't know how we were going to be able to control.
I remember someone throwing a Molotov cocktail. I don't know who the person was, but I mean, I saw that, and I just said to myself in Spanish, I said, "Oh my God, the revolution is finally here." And I just like started screaming, "Freedom! We're free at last," you know, and it felt really good.
There were a couple of cops stationed on either side of the door with their pistols, like in a combat stance, aimed in the door area. A couple others were stationed in other places, behind like a pole, another one behind the bar, all of them with their guns ready. I don't think up to that point I had ever seen cops that scared.
Remember, these were pros, but everybody was frightened. There's no question about that. I know I was frightened, and I've been in combat situations, and there was never any time that I felt more scared than I felt that night. And, I mean, there was just, you know, there was no place to run.
When the Morrill Squad officers barricaded themselves inside the Stonewall, Deputy Inspector Pine put in a 1041 call, an emergency help request which can only be placed by a high-ranking officer. That call was mysteriously canceled, and the telephone inside the Stonewall went dead. It took nearly 45 minutes for the riot police to get to the Stonewall and rescue the Morrill Squad from the smoldering bar.
Once the tactical police force showed up, I think that really incited us a little bit more.
My name is Martin Boyce. In 1969, I was a drag queen known as Miss Martin. I remember on that night, when we saw the riots, all of us drag queens, we linked arms like the Rockettes,
and sang the song we used to sing. We are the village girls. We wear our hair in curls. We wear our dungarees above our Nelly knees. And the police went crazy hearing that, and they just immediately rushed us. We gave one kick and fled.
My name is Rudy, and the night of the Stonewall, I was 18. And to tell you the truth, that night I was doing more running than fighting. I remember looking back from 10th Street. And there on Waverly Street, there was a police, I believe, on his cop, and his on his stomach in his tactical uniform and his helmet and everything else, with a drag queen straddling him. She was beating the hell out of him with her shoe. Whether it was a high heel or not, I don't know. But she was beating the hell out of him. It was hysterical.
My name is Mama Jean. I'm a lesbian, and I guess you would label me as a butch. I remember on that night, I was in a gay bar, a women's bar, called Cookies. We were coming out of the gay bar, going toward 8th Street. And that's when we saw everything happen. Blasting away, people getting beat up. Police coming from every direction. Hitting women as well as men with their nightsticks. Gay men running down the street with blood all over their face. We decided right then and there whether we were scared or not. We didn't think about it. We just jumped in.
But here, this queen is going completely bananas, you know, jumping and hitting the windshield. And next thing you know, the taxi cab was being turned over. The cars were being turned over. Things. Windows were shattering all over the place. Fires were burning around the place. It was beautiful. It really was.
I remember one cop coming at me, hitting me with the nightstick in the back of my legs. I broke loose, and I went after him. I grabbed his nightstick. My girlfriend went behind him. She was a strong southern girl. I wanted him to feel the same pain I felt. And I kept on saying to him, "How do you like the pain? Do you like it? Do you like it?" I kept on hitting him and hitting him. I was angry. I wanted to kill him. At that particular minute, I wanted to
do every destructive thing that I could think of at that time to hurt anyone that had hurt us through the years.
It's like just when you see a man protecting his own life. They weren't the queens that people called them. They were men fighting for their lives. And I'd fight alongside them any day, no matter how old I was.
A lot of heads were bashed. But it didn't hurt their true feelings. They all came back from war. Nothing. That's when you could tell that nothing could stop us at that time or at any time in the future.
The media covered the riot extensively. The Daily News featured it on its front page. There were reports on all the local television and radio stations. By the next day, graffiti calling for gay power had appeared on buildings and sidewalks all over the West Village. Hastily worked up flyers distributed on street corners touted the night as the hairpin drop heard round the world. And the next night, thousands of men and women converged on the West Village. They came here, back to the Stonewall, to see what would happen next. While trash cans were set on fire, stones were thrown, and sporadic fighting broke out between police and gays, the more than 400 riot police milling around the village ensured that the previous night's violence would not be repeated. But on this night, for the first time, gay couples could be seen walking hand in hand or kissing in the streets. Just by being there, surrounded by reporters and photographers and onlookers, thousands of men and women were proclaiming to themselves and the rest of the world that they were gay. And the crowds grew and came back the next night, and for one more night the following week. What happened here on those nights helped to usher in a new era, both personally and politically, for gay men and lesbians.
When Stonewall happened, Bruce and I were still in the closet, where we had been for nearly 40 years. But we realized that this was a tremendous thing that had happened at Stonewall, and it gave us a feeling that we were not going to be remaining closeted for very much longer. And soon thereafter, we did come out of the closet.
My name is Ginny Apuzzo. In 1969, I was in the convent. I was in the Sisters of Charity, and when Stonewall hit the press, it hit me with a bolt of lightning. It was as if I had an incredible release of my own outrage at having to sequester so much of my life. I made my way down. I seem to recall in subsequent nights being down on the, you know, kind of just in the periphery looking, observer, clearly an observer, clearly longing to have that courage to come out. And it was a matter, as I recall, it was only a matter of weeks before I left the convent and started a new life.
I'm Henry Bayard. In 1969, I was in the U.S. Army, a Specialist 3 stationed at Long Binh Post near Saigon in Vietnam. I remember I was having lunch in the Army mess, reading the Armed Forces news summary of the day. And there was a short paragraph describing a riot led by homosexuals in Greenwich Village against the police. And my heart was filled with joy. I thought about what I had read frequently, but I had no one to discuss it with. And secretly within myself, I decided that when I came back stateside, if I should survive to come back stateside, I would come out as a gay person. And I did.
For those of us in public morals, after the Stonewall incident, things were completely changed from what they had previously been. They suddenly were not submissive anymore. They now suddenly had gained a new type of courage. And it seemed as if they didn't care anymore about whether they were whether their identities were made known. We were now dealing with human beings.
My name is Jim Forat, and I'm in the mid-60s, along with Abby Hoffman and Jerry Rubin. I was one of the founders of the Yippie movement. I remember the third night of the riots, there was this meeting called by Mattachine Society at St. John's Church on Waverly Place. We went, and Randy Wicker was running the meeting.
For 10 years, I've been going on television as Randy Wicker, the respectable homosexual dressed in dark suit and tie, explaining to people that most homosexuals look like everybody else and behave like everybody else. And when Stonewall began happening, you had chorus lines of Queens kicking their heels up at the police, bonfires burning in the corner trash baskets and throwing bricks and stones at the police. I was horrified because this violated everything that we thought of as responsible behavior, that this was not the way respectable citizens behaved.
Evelyn Hooker was a sociologist, I believe. Randy had introduced her, and she got up, and she suggested that we should have a candlelight march, that we should turn the other cheek because gay people were really different, we were really nice, and we had to show how nice we were and stop all this rioting because people were going to get hurt. I remember I stood up and I said, no, we are not going back. And people felt the same thing I felt. And we marched out of that room, and that was the night that the Gay Liberation Front was born.
Today I live in a senior citizen apartment building. What's different now is that I can be free. I have a daughter who's a senior citizen, and my son is 58. They know about my homosexuality. My three grandchildren in their 30s know about their grandmother. I have a great-granddaughter who at the age of 10 learned that Grandma Jerry was a lesbian, and she thought that was most interesting. And yet I still don't have the personal courage to not care if these yentas in the building know that Jerry's a lesbian.
Well, I retired from the police department in 1976. 20 years have passed. I'm going to be 70 in a few months. I still don't know the answer. I would still like to know the answer. I would like to know whether I was wrong or whether I was right in ever thinking that there was a difference. And ever thinking that maybe
you shouldn't trust a homosexual because something is missing in his personality.
The archives of lesbian culture, which surrounds us now and was created 4 years after Stonewall, owes, at least for my part, its creation to that night and the courage that found its voice in the streets. That night, in some very deep way, we finally found our place in history. Not as a dirty joke, not as a doctor's case study, not as a freak, but as a people.
Remembering Stonewall was engineered by Spider Blue. It was produced by David Isay with a grant from the Pacifica National Program Fund. I'm Michael Shirker.
Today I'm a 38-year-old drag queen. I can keep my long hair, I can pluck my eyebrows, and I can work wherever the hell I want. And I'm not going to change for anybody. If I change, then I feel that I'm losing what 1969 brought into my life. And that was to be totally free.
How can I ever close the door and be the same as I was before? Darling, no, no, I can't anymore. It's too late. No.
I can't believe I did that.
Oh, my God, what did you do?
I pushed the wrong button. I hit the eject button on the CD that I was playing. It was a tribute to Judy Garland.
You're trying to be me?
I know. I just don't have that much pink.
Oh.
My okay, person, the only person that gets more pink than you is Carrie Hart.
Careful. Are you playing Cut 11?
Yes.
Okay.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. The wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Wake up, you sleepy head. Rub your eyes, get out of bed. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Let them know their wicked witch is dead. Ding
Michael. What's happened? What's that? Ah!
The very talented Bobby McFerrin.
Thank you, Anne.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, that was a nice tribute to Judy Garland.
Yeah, well, started weird with Klaus Nomi, and then went that with, of course, was Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. I guess considering the fact, you know, he's German, I guess Witch is the proper pronunciation. And then that was Bobby McFerrin.
Yes.
With doing The Wizard of Oz in 7 minutes.
That's fabulous.
I just want to make sure I remove the Stonewall tape from this.
Yes, because it's probably the only copy we have.
Well, you know what? According to the information on there, we should be able to get a good CD copy of it.
Hey.
Because it does say it is part of the Pacifica Archive.
Yes, it is. Oh.
So, we just need to contact them, though.
Yes, we do.
Maybe they can send us a CD.
And get a better copy of it.
Couldn't hurt.
Because that's an important, important piece of history.
So yeah, and that's what this whole, you know, this whole event about. I remember, you know, the one time my brother asked me, "Why is the Gay Pride Parade in the Montrose?" You know, this is where it is. You know, we.
This is one of the neighborhoods in Houston where we felt accepted.
Yeah.
Because it was an artist colony.
Yeah, all the major cities have their.
Yeah.
Pick the term you want to use, the politically correct gayborhood.
Yeah, I know what
I mean. I prefer gay ghetto. Because, you know, that's the proper term, you know. Ghetto meant is Dutch for neighborhood.
Well, the
it just got a bad rap in Germany and Poland in the
Montrose
40s.
Got a reputation for first for artists and secondhand shops and resale shops and
eclectic.
Yes, and it was the type of neighborhood that you could be yourself. So that's I think that's why it was attractive to gay people, GLBT people.
So I mean,
and then from the 60s and 70s on up, when you said you lived in the Montrose, people assumed you were gay if you were a single male.
Yeah, unfortunately now the homo of
the Montrose is not homosexual, it's more homogenized.
Yes, it's getting that way with all these big old townhouses, and people are coming back from the suburbs wanting the inner city amenities.
Hey, now they've got rid of all those historic homes and, you know, the nice old style of building.
Yeah.
Live in a corrugated tin.
The large houses and then the little one-story or one-and-a-half-story little bungalows that were all over the Montrose. All over the Montrose. And now those are being knocked down and townhouses put up in their place. But,
allegedly it's progress.
Well, that's right, and you have to change your... Just like the show, you have to evolve or you die. So...
Oh, hold on, I can turn his mic back on.
Yes.
I was going to say that...
You had a caller.
Oh, yes, he wanted to have you do an update of the parade. Did the mayor walk or did he ride?
I had no idea. I have no idea. Yeah. We didn't see the beginning of the parade.
I didn't see...
I was.
Hold on, Rainbow. Were you shouting out the answer?
Rainbow.
He walked.
He walked.
The mayor walked.
He walked.
Good. That's amazing.
At his age. Oh,
hey.
My old fart.
So Mayor Gollum walked.
Good.
No, brown. Brown.
And you say I'm not supposed to pick on him?
I know. Anyway, you wanted to talk about Miss Mintulip.
We didn't do the calendar stuff.
No, we didn't.
So, you know, we kind of...
But we just got, you know... It's a pride show anyway.
Yeah. It's a pride show. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. You know, we started off talking about the... commemoration of Lawrence v. Texas, which will be on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
At 6:30 over at the...
It's a strange location, but it's in the Montrose.
Yeah, the Baring and James Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
805 Road Place. Road is in the island state.
Yeah.
Suite 500 near the intersection of Taft and West Dallas. A plethora of celebrities and minor celebrities,
mm-hmm.
those who think they are, will be there. For more information, go to the Houston GLBT Community Center website. .org. Coming on Sunday, July 16th at 3 p.m., the Mr. and Miss Mint Julep Contest Drag Show will be held at Rich's. This is the only community-based fundraiser for Legacy Community Health Services.
That's right.
Formerly known as the Montrose Clinic and what was the other part of them? AIDS Coalition?
No,
there was... Two groups merged, and that's why they call it Legacy now.
Oh. That and the...
Assistance Fund?
Assistance Fund.
I knew there was an A in there somewhere.
Yes.
There's no cover.
Mm-hmm.
There is... there'll be food provided by Rivas and Chipotle. We'll be doing the food part. And the dessert looks like it'll be by the Houston Big Men's Club.
Imagine that.
As we've always said, we make good desserts. Some call it... just fancy food, we call it recruitment.
There you go.
And Chris, you don't do a shabby job yourself. That I've had your cakes before.
Mm.
They are extremely good.
I don't think so. I haven't brought any of my food here. I've only cooked for Louie.
Well, yeah, well, you had some left over from one of your events.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm pretty sure, regardless, Chris's icing's probably pretty good.
Well, I'm sure his icing is excellent.
So I'm working on, or trying to work on something here. We'll have stuff that's... Everyone can have it, stuff that only certain people will want to have. But that, once again, that's on at Rich's at Sunday, July 16th at 3 p.m.
Oh, good. You know, there is someone missing tonight.
Hey, we never did mention.
From the KPFD After Hours group.
Regular family.
Regular family, yep. And that would be Merlin.
What is it?
Who? He passes off to me like I know the information.
Bobby Pagano is his real name.
The blue
The blue, yeah, the blue mer, the blue wizard.
The blue furball you see walking through the monitors yeah. with the cane.
The Smurflick guy.
Well, he had some respiratory problems and went into the hospital yesterday. And Robert, who is another one of our regulars, but not here tonight, told me before the parade that it's PCP, pneumonia. So we need to send a whole bunch of good energy out Merlin's way. He needs it right now.
I think the pagan community, it's white light.
Whatever.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Healing energy, healing white energy. Light.
Yeah. Because I know folks did that for me when I was in the hospital. And
Should I embarrass you by reading your email?
My email?
That you sent out today.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I gotta log back in. Yeah. Now, this is strange for Jimmy to post anything, especially using his real ID.
That's strange there.
Yeah, usually we see something more radical come out. But this is something Jimmy posted. I'm going to read off here about Pride for him. Pride Day is special to me, especially this one. For one, I love the idea of being able to celebrate my GLBT pride with all my friends, acquaintances, and those people I know by face, and then me from around the community. This past May was a very close call for me, what with two separate operations during one hospital stay, and neither one of them HIV-related. Go figure. There were so many people who called, emailed, and sent cards, I was overwhelmed. Folks that I barely knew, those who I haven't seen in a while, even a few total strangers, as well as my good friends, showed such concern. I really didn't realize the full extent of the love and support. Drugs were involved.
Right.
Until after I got home, and my savior and gatekeeper, Judy Reeves, told me about them all. This woman stayed overnight with me at the hospital, except for two nights when he was in ICU, to make sure the nursing staff did their duty and to make sure I understood what the doctors told me. She even spent the first week with me overnight when I got home. Chris Harrison, who did a yeoman's job with the after hours in my absence, told me how members of the HCC went silent when he told them of my condition and subsequent improvements. They were quiet again this past Wednesday when they got an update.
Wow.
And that was the back patio of the 611, and you know how quiet that was.
I know it.
Dwayne Bradley, general manager, and Ernesto Aguilar, program director of KPFT, went on the air at various times, day and evening, to comment on his condition. He even got a card from the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, an organization he retired from in 1993 after 15 years of service. Plug now. They are now a part of MCC with 24-hour service. Same number, 713-529-3211.
I'll never forget that number.
I know all of the concern, prayers, energies, and good vibes sent my way helped in my recovery. Since I've been out of the hospital, I've seen many of you at various functions and looked at you in a new light. That's why this Pride Day is going to be very special to me this year. Oh, yes, and because Stanley and I are celebrating our 28th anniversary today.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
I'll be in the parade, our KPFD art car entry number 80. When I say on it, I just wait and see. All of those wonderful feelings that you get for riding or walking the parade route will be intensified for me this year. The highlight of rounding the curve to Mary's and the judges' stand where 1,000 people are crammed into every square inch of space, I'll be proud to perform the ritual I've done every year since being male grand marshal in Houston's first nighttime parade in 1997. The vehicle will come to a stop in front of Mary's, and I'll stand up and take a bow to the old girl. For if no other place, she is our Stonewall. And if you don't know what that means, ask someone older to explain it to you, or ask a GCAM member. Happy Pride Day, Houston, Jimmy Carper.
Thank you.
And he got...
I got some incredible responses to that.
Jessica Wicks.
Jessica, yes.
Replied. Tim Brookover and Ray Hill.
And I got some personal replies,
personal there,
too.
So, you know, this is one day that we, you know, we grow down. Our community grows to 100,000 people. And... we march.
I'll bet there were 200,000 people there.
At least.
I mean, yeah. You know, it was just incredible.
But the one thing you have to remember is Pride isn't just the last Saturday.
No.
You know, look around, you know, New York, San Francisco holds theirs tomorrow. You know, group of high school students held it on June 4th out in California.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas holds it in October. Pride is something that's 24/7, 365. And
that's the way we feel here.
That's, and, you know, especially because of the fact that we know that through, you know, this board, you know, that antenna out in the boonies, that we can at least help people share a little bit of that pride.
Mm-hmm.
Who can't have it out yet.
That's right.
Who are in prison, who are the young, who are listening to the show. And we're glad to be a part of your community, your family out there, be your extended family. And we'll stand in pride for you this year, and hopefully we'll see you out there next year, if not along the parade route, in it.
That's right.
I wish I had fancy music to put on right now, but I don't.
I know, that would be, so, yeah, that would be it.
But that's the thing, is, you know, like we always say here, you know, we're here for everyone who listens. You know, gay, straight, lesbian, bisexual, transgender.
Yeah, whatever.
Questioning, you know.
And there are a lot of questioning people, yeah, from teenagers to 80-year-olds.
But the thing is, you know, like I said, we came, you know, those of us who were walking in the parade, volunteered with the parade, and did our part with here, you know, we do that for those who marched before us and those who will march after us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah. Can't say anything more than that.
I can't
that.
Say anything else. But everyone,
shout it out loud.
Let us know what you think. You can send us email at afterhours@kpft.org. Eventually, I'll get the MySpace.
Yes.
Back up and updated. I still got a bunch of music I need to put in there. MySpace.com/afterhourskpft. We figured, you know, if MySpace is the home for perverts, we need to.
Hey, we need to be
it.
There. Yeah. That's right. Or you can snail mail us at KPFT After Hours, 419 Lovett Boulevard, LOVETT, Love TT, Houston 77006. Not just a zip code.
It's a lifestyle.
No, it's a life. Life.
Oh, it's a lifestyle.
Look in the group in here. There's no style.
I don't know about you poor saps, but
I know. But, you know, a lifestyle is painting your bedroom blue. I have a life.
Okay, so do you really?
Yes,
I do. You've been
do.
Married for 28 years. You can't have a life.
And I always thought when you do the...
Isn't it time for us to go away?
Hey, almost.
When you do the address, don't you say, send dirty pictures?
Dirty pictures! That's right.
This,
send us.
This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. We'll be back next week with Pride.
We'll leave be the back every week with Pride.
Leave the prejudice at home. We'll leave that to Jane Austen. Coming up, it's Paula Palooza, right?
Laura
Palooza.
Ah, lovely.
Hey,
lovely.
I got better.
Right. Lovely.
I got the last name right.
Okay.
All right, let's play this. This will make the guys weak-kneed on Black on Black.
Ooh.
And I ought to play something else because we'll need time to actually click some things. And so I'm just
okay,
gonna,
whatever.
Let's just, yeah.
Just press the
press
button, Mary.
Community-based. Listener-sponsored. Commercial-free radio. This is Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston, 90.1 FM.
This year, the free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.